enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, worth the experience.
Worth it.
So take the experience yourself, and they can wheel them into the showroom if you need on a rainy day like today at Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, and Parkside Drive. And you can find them online at tedrussellford.net. We are pleased to welcome to the show now Jeff Carr, head coach of the Knoxville Ice Bears. Jeff, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me guys on this day here. I know normal spots Monday, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. And he joins us on the Stanley Fenton Gates Hotline. Is this the kind of day, by the way, that a hockey team member, player, coach can kind of relate to in Knoxville where it's a little bit colder, a little rainier?
No, it's perfect. I wish it was snow, though. I wish the rain would go away yeah. and the snowflakes would come. But no, it's all good. We're out at our practice rink out in cool sports here. They got, a country concert here at the Coliseum, but no, the weather's good. I'm glad it's going to be cold. It usually our crowds get pretty big when that happens.
Yeah, spoken like a true madman. unbeaten in your last eight games in regulation.
Yeah, it's kind of been a tale of the tape of we either win four or five in a row or even more. We've had two or three game losing streaks, and it feels like it's been bouncing back and forth for the last month. It's been great. Obviously, we had two trades where we brought those in, as we've mentioned and highlighted a few weeks ago. But just the confidence that we're playing with right now is everything. I think we've been in a one-goal game if we have lost for the last, like, month and a half. So we're playing competitive hockey and our best hockey at the right time.
Well, and in all honesty, a little birdie told me that the overtime loss last weekend wasn't really your fault. It was because Bad Take Andy was in attendance. So don't be too hard on the team. But on a serious note, Garrett Sargis, this guy is just worth the price of whatever you pay for your ticket, right? I mean, he is the show right now on the ice.
Yeah, and I'll shoot you guys straight, and you guys have heard it a million times from me. You guys know me. I'm a diehard sports fan, so it's not just hockey. But there are very, very few people in hockey that I would pay for the price admission. In other sports, football, basketball, ways that there's some guys that you would, and I think multiple, but hockey, it's really tough. So when you go and say something like that, you're not kidding. I haven't seen guys go end-to-end, do what Garrett's done, one-on-one. He scored a game winner in overtime last night, 2 weeks ago. He could have scored another one on Saturday. He's just been literally a one-man show at times. And it's his effort and it's his compete, and it's just that willingness to stay on the puck. And I feel like the guys that are the most competitive this time of the year, they always shine through.
And Garrett's got like 7 goals, I think it is, in his last 8 or 9 games. So why has the light suddenly come on at this time of the year for him?
Well, one, he's been playing on that third line where there's no stress to try to score. It's more about playing simple, and that's the whole plan of why we put him on that line. It's when you're playing with highly skilled guys, you feel like you should be getting points. And even if you win or lose, you know how it is in any sport. If you don't collect the stats that you're supposed to, or you're on a highly skilled trio or line, like you if that's not going to happen, it feels like you can get frustrated. And if Garrett, there's no expectation to get points and just chip and chase and be physical. And it just happens that brand of hockey with Josh Pietrantonio and Brian Backnick have solidified a lot of continuity, and I think just getting pucks on that. The game that we won in Evansville, they had a combined all three of our goals. They had 11 shots on that. I think I told you, Joel, it's hard for us to find the last time a third line had 11 shots on that in a game. So it's his whole line, but his individual effort's been spectacular the last month.
We're talking to Knoxville Ice Bears coach Jeff Carr here on Sports 180. Do you like where the identity of your team is right now and how it's responded to that?
I do in a lot of areas. I like it in the results area, and I like how it feels like we had 30 or 35 things that we were thinking about doing last month, and we were doing 5 good. Now we're thinking about 10 or 15 things, and we're doing 10 and 15 things good, right? So everything's been simplified in our dressing room and the guys, and it's just about that time of year when results aren't getting done. Guys are kind of getting on each other. You don't have to patrol it as much because they know the systems, they know what the expectations are. So it's good to see some of the quiet guys show some emotion and patrol the room. And as a coach, you couldn't ask for anything better right now.
I don't want to give too much away, but you may or may not have been on a very important phone call at our regularly scheduled Monday time. Are we possibly going to see any changes to what this lineup looks like as you close out the regular season?
That's the million-dollar question. So if you guys have that answer, please let me know, and then I'll just follow whatever you guys say. I tell you what, I'm just showing 100% open palm compassion for the guys we have, and I don't know. It, to humbly answer that question, either I would love to bring guys in as a scare tactic. I'd love to, because you have to. I don't have that answer. I feel like I've hung on to guys too long at this level. I feel like I've traded them away and regret maybe in the off season where I could have helped and develop. And I think the first thing is it's really challenging to change your room when you're winning. That's been a little bit of the tough part. But we know we have a couple upgrades on the back end and forward spots, but we're going to sit here for a week, not bring anyone in, and then after the weekend, I'm sure we'll have a couple, but I don't think it's going to be as many as it was in the last 2 years.
Kind of was buzzing around the Coliseum last weekend with David Brancic not being on the ice, and then the team made the announcement through the transactions list earlier this week. What's been going on with the veteran defenseman here in Knoxville?
Yeah, well, David Brancic plays one style of hockey, as our fans know, and it's hard and it's rugged and it's through the puck. So for him, he's had some nagging hip and leg injuries, and obviously that's his greatest asset flying around the ice sheet. So, you know, we didn't want to put him on the IR. We just didn't know with roster and room, and then we knew Nielsen was going to be coming back and possibly Florida. We're not sure quite yet. So for him, that's why we IR'd him. And David just needs this full 2 more weeks. We have a next weekend off and back on Tuesday, making he'll miss that game and he'll be ready for the Quad Cities. But we need his hips and his legs at 100%, not at 80 or 90. Those are the lingering, nagging injuries that would now come out of playoffs. So expect David back mid-March and healthy 100%.
Hey, Jeff, before you go, what should Ice Bears fans know about what's coming up? I know college night's right around the corner. What do fans need to know about what's about to happen for the Ice Bears?
Yeah, college night, you said it. I think they got cheap soda pops for the college kids over 21. Yeah, they got some great deals. And obviously, we love the college night because I feel like each year that the Predators have done well and the weather does turn back a little bit warmer. I just feel like it's kind of a both pro teams building for the playoff run. It's a lot of excitement. So come on out Friday. It's just a one game at home, and then we're on the road at Huntsville on Saturday. And then we have that full week off, and then we're right back at the Coliseum. So 1 week off, then back for 2 more. So 3 games in the next 2. Come out and support. You won't be disappointed. I can promise you that.
The website is KnoxvilleIceBears.com. The phone number is 525-7825, as they'll be back in action at home against the Mayhem on Friday night. Good luck with everything coming up over the next week, Jeff, and we'll talk to you actually on Monday. Look forward to it.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Jeff Carr, head coach of the Knoxville Ice Bears.
Does hand size matter in hockey? That's my next question next week.
Grip of the stick. Yeah, and the goalie, although I think it goes a little bit beyond your actual hand size.
Oh, okay. So it's just football.
I think toughness kind of matters. Yeah, no, it's only a football quarterback and free safety.
You don't think defensive end? Remember JPP? How was that hand going to work?
Still playing. All right, we'll move along here on Sports 180. Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg back at the studio with us. We're at Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike. More Tennessee, Arkansas talk tonight. We'll talk a little college football coming up at 2:30 with Braden Gall of Athlon Sports. All right here on Sports 180. Stop by and see us. Kingston Pike, Ted Russell Ford, where we are today on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Back on Sports 180. Thanks for being with us today. Sports Talk coming up at 3 o'clock. Remember, you can podcast the show in the WNML app on Apple Podcasts as well. Just search for Sports 180 as we continue at Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike.
Bad Take Andy just gave us sort of an argument against the Elam ending that you hear when paying players for their name, image, and likeness. They're like, well, what if a booster comes out and pays $100,000 for a recruit? So, what happens? it probably won't happen twice because you know what? You're not going to get a good return on your investment, $100,000 to an 18-year-old kid. I mean, like that. He goes, oh, if you put it in the NIT, what's to stop it from spreading? If it makes for good basketball, it's sort of a moot point.
It would only spread if it were a success, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's a no-brainer for the NIT. By the way, just soapbox time. Could you imagine a world where a booster might give money to a college football player? I can't imagine that ever happening.
Yeah, and in this scenario, said player would actually have to pay taxes on it and keep it above board. It's crazy. Yeah,
I don't think that's ever occurred before in the history of the sport, you know, with the current rules they have in place. So there you have that as well. I think the NIT should do the Elam ending. I think what's been brought up, the G League has been discussed. Should they do it in the G League? And I don't think so, as long as the NBA is not doing it. And that's because they are using the G League as a developmental league to try to get players ready to play in the NBA. So I don't think you want to deviate from what your top-level rules are to that level. So they're going to continue doing it in the All-Star game, which I think is good. And I would be curious to see if they do a mid-season tournament, if they would incorporate it there. First of all, they have to have the conversation of are they going to do that with the schedule, and then they can have the other chat. But
and how they're going to incentivize.
I'm in favor of some moves here, but I would say for the NIT, do something to give anybody a reason to watch.
We have established that you are a chaosist, and so anytime you can throw a monkey wrench into things, you are going to take that opportunity. But I really don't think this is a monkey wrench. I think it's a tool that would add intrigue to something that is dying, in my opinion. And I think the NIT tournament, that's redundant, but I think the NIT is just nobody's really paying attention, I think, unless you bet on basketball or your team is playing in it.
Monkey wrench, top three, top five Foo Fighters song, what would you say?
oh, Andy's going top
three.
You
think it's top three? Yeah. What's number one? You're My Hero?
That's their most popular.
Yeah,
that would be their most popular.
Yeah. I think top three is probably right. Definitely top five. Foo Fighters coming to Knoxville. Looking forward to that in April.
On 420. Yeah.
That's
so
right.
So there you go. April 20th, they're going to be at Thompson Bowling Arena. And we were giving away tickets on the Eric Ainge Show. Win them before you buy them.
That's, yes, looking forward to that coming up in just a couple of months. Knoxville continues to raise the roof on what can be done here with concerts.
I'm
excited.
I saw a lot of the
Sturgill. That was
such
a lame way of describing that way. That raise the roof. Who said it? What was that?
Who let the dogs out? Sturgill Simpson, that concert. I saw a lot of people tweeting and Instagram storying all that. It looked awesome. I was very jealous of that one.
Tennessee basketball tonight, 8:30. We'll have all network coverage at 8 o'clock. Vols got to get this one. Four games to go here. I think it gets progressively tougher. Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky on the road. That's your toughest for sure. And then Auburn at home to close things out.
I think Auburn might be your toughest at this point. And let me make my case for that. I'm not saying that they're a better team than Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You got a long losing streak now going on against Bruce Pearl. He's won four straight games in a row. John Calipari doesn't have that. I'm just saying, I think there is some bad stuff going on between the Tennessee-Auburn rivalry at this point. It's getting into the supernatural world.
Is
I know
right?
You don't believe in that, but I do. I might be one of the reasons for it because I am so against Bruce Pearl. Mm-hmm. I might be fueling that rivalry. But yeah, the fact that Bruce Pearl seems to be having the upper hand against the Vols. I mean, you have two historically good teams for both Auburn and Tennessee last year. Bruce Pearl was better. He found a way to just be better. So, very frustrating.
Those are all good points. I'll just go with the team, I think, with better players at one of the toughest places to play in college basketball. So, I'll go Kentucky on the road is the toughest game remaining for Tennessee. But that is a fair point. Auburn in Knoxville is not going to be an easy game for Tennessee by any means. So, it's just obvious they have to win tonight, and then you'll carry the conversation on from there. If Tennessee doesn't win tonight, well, then it...
What are you playing for at that point? Hopefully, they would still show up and be motivated to play, and I like what you brought up. I like what you brought up in hour number one just about Jordan Bowden. Now, he's not going to go out on as high a note as Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone left on, but he still has a lot of pride on the line, and I think he is still trying, obviously, with the career high last Saturday, he's still trying to put together something to go out on a high note with for his time in Tennessee. So I would lean towards they are still going to show up even if they lose tonight, because I mean the Florida game is definitely winnable. That's going to be at home. We'll see what they have in the tank for that one, but I don't like how everybody's against Tennessee, the betting lines and all this stuff.
Well, it's not exactly that way. 60% of the bets are on Arkansas, according to the Action Network, but 56% of the money is on Tennessee. So the sharps would appear to be leaning toward the Vols in this game, and that's the point spread. That's Arkansas by 4.5. That's not necessarily who wins or loses the game, but still, if it's on Tennessee side with that number, it means Tennessee has a really good shot to win it.
Yeah. And so that makes me feel better about it, because when we were talking earlier and it looked like just all the money was going to Arkansas to cover, I was like, ooh, that's not good. But Isaiah Joe coming back, that's going to cause some matchup problems for Tennessee. But I like your player of the game. If Tennessee comes away with a win tonight, it's probably because John Fulkerson just continued to play lights out.
Yeah, I'll go Fulkerson as the most important player for Tennessee. I don't think there's an obvious one player, because obviously you need more than one to step up. But I'll go Fulkerson as the most important. Would you go John or somebody else?
I would go Fulkerson as well, maybe with a caveat to Eve Pons, because, again, that's the inside.
Sure.
So just to throw out a name that's different from your name, I think both of those guys, if they come to play tonight, Tennessee can go on the road and get a win because of the matchup issues that they pose for Arkansas. Yeah. Arkansas just seems like a small team at this point.
It's an important game for Arkansas as well, which still gets mentioned with the NCAA tournament, even though it's been on a recent slide. But if it gets a win tonight, that's back-to-back for the Razorbacks, and it would be against Missouri and Tennessee, not exactly the toughest of competition in the league, but still would also indicate maybe that they've turned things around. So both need it tonight.
And they could always point back to, or somebody that's making the case for Arkansas to get into the tournament, they could point back to, look what they did without Joe, look what they did when he came back into the lineup. He went on, you know, they went on a four-game win streak, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that could be the caveat that gets them in.
We'll come back and talk a little college football with Braden Gall, host on Cover 2 Podcast with Athlon Sports, coming up next with a half hour of Sports 180 remaining. Today we are at Ted Russell Ford on Kingston Pike, one of two locations for you locally owned and operated, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive, and you can shop online anytime. It's time to take advantage of the savings they have for you to close out the month of February at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln. Go online, tedrussellford.net. We'll talk to Braden Gall next with a Midday Sports Minute coming up as well on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thanks for being with us with a half hour to go before Sports Talk will begin at 3 o'clock right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Another half hour at Ted Russell Ford on Kingston Pike. You can also find Ted Russell Ford Lincoln on Parkside Drive and online, tedrussellford.net. We'll tell you more about the specials they have for you right here on brand new trucks, 2019, 2020, 2020 Explorers here as well at Ted Russell Ford. And we are pleased to welcome to the show Braden Gall with the Cover 2 Podcast, Athlon Sports, joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Braden, appreciate the time, as always. College football, we talked recently about the start of spring practice and kind of joking about the headlines that will go in there. Just from the Tennessee standpoint, they've had coaching changes, but both coordinators coming back, Jarrett Garantano back. What might interest you the most about Tennessee over the next few weeks as we start to talk about spring practice, year three for Jeremy Pruitt, all of that put together?
I mean, overarchingly, I think development is number one. I mean, that's the big issue with the previous regime. It wasn't acquiring talent and, you know, winning nine games, all that good stuff. It was about developing players, and that if that all these really talented, good young players continue to get better, that's what makes the football team better. I know it's sort of super obvious, but it's, you know, we joked about the headlines. It's not about, you know, even who's running with the ones. It's not really, I mean, those are some mild indicators, but really it's just about how much better do you get as a football team? How much more mature are you physically, mentally, all that stuff? Because if they had one more year of this stuff, as I've said like a million times, they're going to be able to contend with Georgia and Florida, but you got to do it year after year after year. So do they do it? Do they take advantage of the time off to get work done? And if that happens, you know, I don't think the quarterback situation is a pretty good situation regardless of what happens. So stand behind a good offensive line. There's a lot to like about them. We talked about Tennessee a lot on the podcast today that just actually hit the airwaves today because of the players and the, I think the excitement around the program, whether they're going to be great or mediocre or bad or, you know, 8-4 or whatever, that they are fascinating to watch again. And that's something that Tennessee hasn't really necessarily been for a couple of years.
Well, and you look at the two-headed monster that's Georgia and Florida. You're going to have a new quarterback at Georgia. You have Kyle Trask, who, you know, pretty good last year. You don't know how high his ceiling is. I mean, if Tennessee is truly going to make a move in the East, especially with the other two programs having question marks at that position, if Jerry Garantano is the guy, you would feel pretty confident about closing some of those gaps that exist, right, in the East?
Yeah, I just think, again, it's about overall talent and ability, and Georgia and Florida just so far ahead of the game right now. And coaching, let's be honest, with Dan Mullen, in my opinion, I think they run one of the most impossible offenses to stop. I just think, you know, look at every single quarterback he's ever had and every single offense he's ever run, and they've been at their best with Dan Mullen calling the shots. So I think Florida's a playoff team this year. I'm not sure, you know, can you beat them at home early in the year? Sure. Can you go on the road and beat Georgia late in the year? I don't know. I think you can get Florida at home. I think you can get Oklahoma. And if you get those two, 10-2 is not out of the question. And then you're talking about a top 15 finish, top 12 finish, if not even better. So, again, that's the upside. But that's all about how much work you get done. Going back to my original point, it's about these good, young, talented players. I mean, Eric Gray is a guy that could be one of the most exciting, most dynamic players. If you talk about just young, exciting talents that's developing in the SEC, you go Jalen Waddle at Alabama. I mean, he's in that category of guys that you can't wait to see what happens, but how much better can you get, right? Like that's what this offseason is all about for Tennessee football.
We're talking to Braden Gall with Athlon Sports Cover 2 podcast, as well as SiriusXM. And I guess big news in the SEC for the last couple of days would be Scott Cochran leaving Alabama, where he's been the strength coach and a big part of what they've done with Nick Saban, to Georgia, where he's going to be the special teams coordinator. What did you think hearing that news with him going from Alabama to Georgia?
Yeah, I think 2020 is all about finding the particularly, you know, correct amount of outrage for every story that you read. And like, it's a big story, but it's not a huge story. I think it's important. I think he's a meaningful asset for Kirby Smart. I think he's an excellent strength and conditioning coach. I think he's been a huge part of what Alabama's accomplished. But if Nick Saban, if Nick Saban wanted to keep him, he could have kept him. So what do we make of that? I just think at the end of the day, it's a key piece he lost. That's a big deal. He's lost coaches every single year, made the playoff every single year except for once. I'm not writing the Alabama dynasty is over column. I don't think anyone should. But it is fascinating to watch what Georgia's trying to do and what Kirby's trying to do, which is literally replicate Alabama in Athens. And so far he's been able to do it with recruiting. He's been able to do it with the coaching staff. You know, at three straight division titles, it's hard to argue with the results outside of the one championship, you know, half of football. So it's fascinating to watch. I just, you know, is it going to decide the SEC championship game? I'll still put my money on Alabama right now.
Unless Kirby could go out and find Tua 2.0 and then really copy everything Alabama's done and try to beat them at their own game. Hey, Braden, something big coming up in Nashville this weekend. MLS is making its debut. How in are you on the new football club in Nashville? And then and give me a stadium update, too, because I had some people from Murfreesboro that were in town, and they were talking about all the things that are going on, and they are super in on the new stadium and everything that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the team launches, in a couple of days, and over 50,000 tickets is what they're trying to shoot for. They've already, I think they hit that number this morning, actually, and they're opening up more sections at the top of the stadium. So, I have no idea what the long-term, first 2 years, let's say, in Nissan Stadium, what the expectations should be for attendance. You can look around the MLS and sort of guess. It's just hard to really know. This will be a great this will be a huge moment. Building Bridgestone Arena downtown, it wasn't called that at the time, was a really controversial decision and has completely changed. If you visited Nashville in the last 15 years, it's completely changed the entire city. I mean, it's a city-defining move to build Bridgestone Arena where they did. So, I think this stadium, while contentious, is one of the best public-private deals in the history of any sport in any city in America, and they're basically paying for every penny of it, and so it'll be a beautiful area and a beautiful stadium, and hopefully the team is competitive. John Ingram can certainly put as much money into it as he wants to. So If they want to go spend to be a great team, they should be able to. If they do that, then they can win Nashville and I think win the state and win the region. But you got to be willing to spend and you got to be willing to put on a good party because Nashville will leave the party quickly if it's not fun.
Braden Gall is with us. He's in Nashville. And Braden, you asked a question, I think, here in the last couple of days. Who's the biggest pro sports star in the state of Tennessee right now? And said Derrick Henry, and I think I would agree with you. And then who's the favorite to be that guy in the next 2 to 3 years? And you said John Morant with the Grizzlies. And I have to tell you, I saw some of the replies there that gave me a bit of a headache.
And he read some of them to me too, Braden. Yeah.
Yeah. But what stood out to you with that conversation that you kind of brought up?
Yeah. Okay, boomers. Listen up. So here's the deal. Listen, basketball players are really popular with young people, and advertisers really want young people to watch. They want to advertise to young people. And I'm sorry, John Morant is a highlight reel every single night. They play an unselfish brand of basketball, which is very unusual in the NBA. They are fun to watch, and they are not great right now, but they are good enough to be relevant. And John Morant, I do ESPN radio work on Saturday nights for, you know, and it's, like he's a topic that nationally is relevant to people, and that's never happened. Like that doesn't even happen. Like it took Derrick Henry 4 years to build that up, and he's one of the most popular college athletes I've ever covered, as far as just sort of general appeal. But he's sort of a quieter personality, and he's sort of growing into that stardom. I think this past year we saw that, and I think that's really fun to watch to see him do that. But like you know, being a great Titan has not really brought you a whole lot nationally. John Morant's already on SportsCenter all the time, so. Like it or not, I just think Nashville, I've just sort of been begging with Nashville to say, look, like there's no reason not to enjoy what's going on. They're a piece or two away from being sort of a 4 or 5 seed in the Western Conference pretty routinely if they can keep the core together. So I just think it's a fun team. I've been a Knicks fan my whole life, so I quit immediately upon the drafting of John Morant. I saw him play twice in person here in Nashville for in the OBC championship game against another first round pick from Belmont and Dylan Windler. It's just, he's been a star for a while. And I'm surprised that people in Nashville and maybe across the state are not gravitating more towards him because I think the national media has already caught on to what he's doing. He gets it, man. He totally gets it.
I just hope when he accepts his Rookie of the Year trophy, he thanks Zion's knee because what we've seen in a limited amount of time this season, Zion is going to change the game, and I am so pumped about it.
I do love watching him. There's no question, and I just love his attitude, his whole personality, just how much he plays with passion, how much he loves the game and his team. I totally agree with all of that. There's only so many jumps in your knees, though, when you're going to be eating beignets every single night. I'm worried about the frame. So yeah. if he drops some weight and thins out and can manage that, then I think he's got a chance to be a freak for many, many years. So I will say there's not many kids that would be hurt the way he was with as much money at stake as there was for him and want to travel with the team while doing rehab at Duke. I mean, that's just he wanted to be on the bench with his teammates, and I love the way he plays the game. So it's hard to argue all that. I still think John Morant's a better basketball player and have a better basketball career. I'm just saying I think he's going to be the better player. That's all.
Well, both of those guys, if you watch them play, watch Zion, watch Ja, you'll love the way that they play. Sometimes
they play hard and get excited.
I'm thinking slow down a little bit as hard as they play.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. Again, like if you loved Bird and Magic and all the basketball from the 90s and 80s, which was spectacular, then you will like the way the Memphis Grizzlies play basketball. They're not great right now, but they're getting better, and they're fun to watch. Give them a chance. That's all.
Yeah, and better than expected because of Ja, largely. Braden Gall, follow him on Twitter, at Braden Gall. ESPN Radio, as he mentioned, with SiriusXM and the Cover 2 podcast. You can subscribe, download that, keep up with college football during the offseason, thanks to Cover 2. Braden, we appreciate the time, as always. Thanks so much, and we'll check in with you next week.
Yep, always a pleasure, fellas.
Braden Gall joining us here on Sports 180, joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.
Somebody after this year, well, they better if they're on the payroll, like his agent or somebody, is going to get in Zion's ear, and he's just going to have to hire a nutritionist and a private chef and all this stuff. And he's going to have to take the LeBron approach, where in the TB12 approach, where everything you put in your body has got to be serving a purpose, and there's really not a lot of room for the stuff that doesn't serve a purpose.
Yeah, probably so.
Because he's fluffy right now. It's not like he's fat or anything like that. He's just, there's a little fluff there, and if he decides to, and he gets cut like LeBron, and he starts having that physique, there's no stopping him.
he has been, I think, better than expected in the time that he's played since coming back from the injury. And I say that knowing that the expectations were kind of outrageous for Zion.
Yeah, they were definitely outrageous. Going back to what you said a second ago about how hard they play, he will celebrate. I mean, he's just all in. I think he was so excited to be able to come back this year. And I like that because there have been superstars in the past, Dwight Howard, Joel Embiid, where you don't know if they care. You just really don't know if they care. You watch Zion, you watch Ja Morant, they care, and they're going to be stars.
Yeah, I think there's a stereotype around NBA players, especially with young players, that that I just don't think is true. With the way they play, do they care or not? I just defense, all that stuff. I think it's true. If you don't think NBA players play defense, college basketball players, you think they're locked in every single possession, every single night?
When they're not getting paid, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
They're just getting yelled at from the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, and that probably applies to every sport. You think for 162 games, an outfielder is locked in every single night? Not really.
Yeah, and think of
they're
it this
humans
way.
In all sports.
If they weren't, watch the All-Star game when you just have the best of the best going up against each other. If they weren't playing defense night in and night out, games would be 165 points to 150. I mean, that's because that's how good these shooters are now. So if you weren't guarding them and playing defense and trying to get steals and stuff, you would just have outrageous scores.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty skilled. Better than ever in that regard. We'll come back for a final segment of Sports 180 with the Power Pole driven by Ted Russell Ford right where we are today, Kingston Pike. And then we'll hand things off to Sports Talk at 3 o'clock. With Heather Harrington, Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. Final segment of Sports 180 this afternoon at Ted Russell Ford on Kingston Pike. Heather, we love being out here. And Andy White was on with us earlier. He said, you've got to take advantage. Come down, check out all that they have to offer, the savings, how they can help you get into a ride, whether you're looking for a new Ford, a new Lincoln, a pre-owned vehicle. They can help you find whatever you're looking for as well. They have great buying power at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln.
The savings are here. The financing is here. He said if you're interested, they will get a deal done over the next 4 days to close out one of the most successful months they've had in years. So they're just really trying to do some big things over the next 4 days. They're not going to be beat on price. Andy said that on our airwaves. They're going to take care of you after the fact, too, after you drive off the lot, because they have one of the best service departments you're going to find between here and the Parkside Drive location. They basically stock more parts than some parts dealers actually have. They basically are a parts dealer now. So they're going to take care of you with the lifetime warranty, with their incredible service department and collision center. I mean, just whatever you need in a vehicle for you and your family, whether it's an upgrade, whether it's getting into one of those awesome Ford cars for the first time, you're just going to love working with the people here, and you're going to get a great deal. I mean, he said it right here. You can check out the podcast.
Yep.
They will not be beat, and they're going to get your deal done.
Ted Russell Ford. Find them online, tedrusselford.net. They have phone numbers right there at the top of the page if you want to call the Kingston Pike or Parkside Drive location. Remember, they will come to you at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, locally owned and operated with the lifetime warranty. Tennessee and Arkansas tonight at 8:30. Also in the SEC, Georgia and South Carolina in Columbia, 6:30 tip-off. And then a couple of 9 o'clock games, Florida at home against LSU and Vanderbilt at home against Missouri. As we say hello to John Wilkerson, ahead of Sports Talk. John, hello.
Hello. How is everything?
Everything's great.
Beautiful
day here. Yes.
Isn't it, though? Yeah. And the great thing is that everybody is so prepared for motoring around the town. They don't get overly cautious. They're not reckless. It's just all great when it starts to rain and there's a little adversity weather-wise when it comes to the trip wherever you're going. Goodness gracious.
Everybody's driving with their headlights on.
Yeah, I have to respectfully disagree with you on that. John, getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. Before that, let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All righty, John. Today's Power Poll, it's Ash Wednesday. Earlier in the show, we talked about what would be the most difficult thing in the sports world to give up. But we'll go just through life in general. You can take it however you would like to. But top five things that would be toughest maybe you have at different times tried to give up.
Well, I'll put this at number five because even though I do it each year for Lent, it's it always takes a lot of getting used to, and that's red meat. And all the things that count as red meat, and it's so funny because there was an ad campaign that said, hey, well, let's see, what was it? Pork. It's the other white meat. And it's like, that's still a red meat. But anyhow, red meat, I have number five. Number four, I'm going to go with your favorite beverage, whether it be alcohol, tea, sweet tea, or soda. At number three, sweets, primarily chocolate. Number two, bread. And as evidenced on my way back to the station with traffic, cursing.
I've been working on it.
I like it.
I disappointed myself at least five times on the way back to the station as people were or were not being cooperative.
Yeah. My Bible verse for 2019 was James 3:8-10. Still working on it in 2020. I'll just go ahead and tell everybody that. Yeah, it's hard.
Heather, the top five toughest things for you to give up.
Okay. Please don't judge me, guys. Don't judge. We all have our vices in life. One, and I have complained about it off the air today, getting my nails done. I don't know if I could stop getting my nails done for Jesus. I would try really hard, but I might sneak a manicure in there. Okay, number four is going to be coffee. I have the same type of coffee every single morning, and if I had to give that up, it would be difficult, and I would probably be a little grouchy. Number three, my latest addiction, my AirPods. And I know I made fun of Tyler Ivins when he showed up to the office wearing them one day because they do look a little goofy sticking out of your ears.
You love your AirPods.
I almost now cannot hear on the phone unless it's on speaker because I've gotten so used to the AirPods. It's ridiculous. Number two, my husband might think this is my number one addiction, but it's number two. It is Instagram. And I know people do give up social media for Lent, and it's a sacrifice. It really is. It's just part of our daily lives. And then number one, please don't ever take my phone away. Please don't.
You wouldn't stand a chance.
I would just carry my laptop around everywhere. Yeah.
What's the password? Wherever she walks in.
So mad. Oh, I'd be mad.
All right, number five. I don't know if this is really top five, but I'll stick my top sports selection. It's also a sad one, John. NBA League Pass. That's how I watch the Bulls because even though they're in Chicago, nobody wants to put them on national television. So I have to watch them lose on League Pass like they did last night in the fourth against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Number four, dad jokes. Could you imagine me trying to walk around and hold back dad jokes or puns? Dropped a doozy in the staff meeting earlier today. Felt good about it.
It helped end the staff meeting, so I felt really good about it.
Everybody was ready to walk off on that one yesterday.
It cleared the room.
Number three, coffee. Sleep is not at its peak form right now. Thanks a lot, Max. So coffee would be really tough to say goodbye to, as would the phone, because at 4 a.m. there might be a little scrolling that's going on. Plus, communication for the show, it's very important for work. And number one, this is just a statement of the times, but bibs and burp cloths, we would be in panic mode. If we gave those up, had a big cleanup this morning as well. So
what would you be armed with if you didn't have those?
Just your shirt.
You have to have them. It's a necessity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just beach towels.
They're so
inconvenient. There's still room on this one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, work the corner. Work the corner, Kelly. The Power Poll is driven by Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, where we've been this afternoon. Parkside Drive as well. They will take care of you. Take advantage. Closing out the month of February, 3.5 days to go here at the locally owned and operated Ted Russell Ford Lincoln. Hey, John, what's coming up next on Sports Talk?
Well, we've got a lot to get to before now and the end of the program, which will lead into the starting 11 ahead of Tennessee coverage of Vol Network coverage of Tennessee at Arkansas. But we look forward to being joined by Vince Ferrara. He's got the call this afternoon for Tennessee UNC Asheville, so he'll join us from 3:30 right up until just about 4 o'clock. We'll have comments from Tennessee coach Rick Barnes to preview the Arkansas game. We'll have post-game reaction from Tony Vitello yesterday, a big win for Tennessee, the Volunteers over Northern Kentucky. John McClain jumps on on with us at 5:05 to talk about the National Football League. Couple of things to say about the Combine, I would imagine. Practice report with Eric Kane, and we always look forward to an opportunity to catch up with former Alabama coach Wimp Sanderson. You never, ever, ever have to wonder what he's thinking, because he will indeed share it with you.
Good stuff coming up in just a few minutes on Sports Talk. John, we look forward to it. Look forward to a little extra time with you tomorrow. Thanks for closing out the show with us today.
Always appreciate it. You guys have a great night.
Thanks again to Ted Russell Ford for having us out here today. Joel, thank you back at the studio. Bad Take Andy, great job right here. Heather, see you tomorrow at noon.
All right, I'll be here. No more preschool.
On Sports 180, we appreciate you hanging out with us on FM 99.1, the sports animal.